This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. Joining me now, sports director at KGWN-TV, Ethan Bird, set to talk about all things border war. And I just saw your post, you know, best week of the year, Ethan. Has it lost a little luster in your mind? I know you graduated from CSU. You now cover Wyoming. So I would imagine for you, no. The answer is an obvious no. Mm-hmm. Never.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, you know, third generation Ram. This has been my favorite week since as long as I can remember. And now it just has an extra layer to it because I have the blessing of getting to cover it every year. And the energy of it, it's just a special week and a special day for me and for a lot of people.
Yeah, the tradition behind it, no matter mm-hmm. what the game looks like, the build-up to it, obviously the day before the game is always such a tremendous sight to see. But we'll see what happens on the field tomorrow. Let me ask you this. Jay Norvell, obviously, gone. We talked about that a little bit mm-hmm. last week. Jay Sauvell. Where does he sit? Is his seat getting kind of warm there? And how much does a win mean for the future of Jay Sauvell as the head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys?
Well, winning cures all, right? That first off and foremost, it's always a must-win game. But as far as like an institutional hot seat on Jay, I can't really speak too much of that because we haven't really got much of an idea. I can't imagine it's super warm. But if you go on Twitter, a lot of Pokes fans will tell you it's as hot as it can be. And that would only get hotter if he loses, right? And then institutionally, I mean, the expectation on him is you win the border war.
Yeah.
You know, he talked about expectations when talking about replacing Jay Johnson. You know, this is one of his biggest expectations. After having, you know, a successful season – actually, probably number one is the border war. You win the border war, successful season, and then the rest of the expectations on him go from there. So job security-wise, a win would be really good for him here. I can say confidently that would be the case.
Well, and like CSU, Wyoming made a change, like you just mentioned, with their offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
With Jay Johnson kind of taking a back seat. He's on the staff as an analyst, but Wyoming legend, wide receivers coach Javon Bunite is going to take over. How do you feel, you know, what it looks like with him? What can you tell us about, you know, we know how good of a player he was, but what kind of coordinator could he potentially be?
So I think it's what's really cool about that is how much respect he demands and gets. Just by being a part of this program. You know, him and Ryan Yarborough are the two best wide receivers to ever play at the University of Wyoming and two of some of the best to ever play in college football. So just from that, I think he gets so much respect from the guys. They really, really look up to him. So I think his relationship with the offense is already great right there. And, you know, he was a part, he's called some plays as part of his career. He was a part of a really good Utah State offensive play calling core. He wasn't the main guy, but he called some plays there. So I think there, as far as the play calling mentality, I've got honestly no idea. I wish we could have had some availability with him on Monday to ask these questions. But you know, none of us knew what was going to happen, so we couldn't request him. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Something that Jay Sauvell did mention at, I think it was Cody Tucker that asked about, you know, are we basically too many mouths to feed at the wide receiver group? And I absolutely agree with Cody. You know, we've had games where 13 guys catch a pass, and I think some continuity in wide receivers would be really helpful for Caden Anderson. So I'd imagine that's a change that we may see. We'll hopefully see. I think it would be beneficial because Jay did hint to that a little bit.
Joining us now, Ethan Bird, talking all things border war as the Cowboys. You know, and the Cowboys, what's interesting here is a win against CSU. Not only is that huge for the boot and everything, but they're 1-2 in the conference. If they can win this game, they at least put themselves in a position where those last four are extremely meaningful. CSU kind of on the opposite side of that. They're 1-2 as well, but it, you know, when you're without your head coach and everything I'm hearing with Colorado State is that the plan is way different. They changed up their play caller again. The practices are even ran different. So I just can't imagine that's a good sign for the rest of the season for the Rams. But for Wyoming, a win here could be, you know, this could turn the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to CSU, I've got no idea what to expect from them. You'd have more of an idea from me. But what you can expect from these folks is they're going to come out and they're going to play their butts off. Coach Savell talked about in the presser that last year there wasn't enough juice in that first half. And I absolutely agree with him. I was sitting down there on the field and I was like, do these guys know they're playing one of the most important rivalry games in the West? I mean, there was no juice. There's no passion. And he said that's not going to be a problem this year. And I think that trend's very, very good for Wyoming. You know, like you said, you get a win here. You bounce back from giving Air Force a one-win Air Force team a win. And, you know, San Diego State, you need momentum going into that game. That's not going to be an easy game. Not what I would have expected to say at this point in the season, if you asked me a couple months ago. But especially, I mean, two road games in a row, San Diego State, Fresno State, you've got to enter that with some juice.
Yeah. Well, in the Air Force game, going back to that one, what an odd game that was. But I mean, I guess the positive there is Air Force has been putting up 30 plus, 35 plus all season. And for them, you know, they only scored 24 against Wyoming. So defensively, they seem to be the real deal week in and week out. I mean, I know San Jose State got the 28 early, but then the second half completely shut them out and made for an exciting finish for the Cowboys. So defensively, that does seem like is certainly a strength.
Oh, absolutely. I think they've got the best, one of, if not the best, defenses in the Mountain West. And I think that really speaks to, I think I've talked to you about this before, about how cool it's been to watch the evolution of Aaron Bowl from last year to this year. He's really settled in. And it's been really cool to watch. And I mean, look at the pieces that he's got. They went out into the transfer portal and they got the guys they needed to turn this defense into the Wyoming defense that we know and love, that fans have seen over, you know, the decade that Craig Bowl was there. Braden Johnson, you know, some dude who's playing D2 football somewhere at a school I've never heard of, and he's one of the best linebackers in the Mountain West. Evan Eller, how special is that guy? The Vermont Military Academy or Virginia Military Academy. Like, they went out and, Evan Eller was a transfer last year, but he took a red shirt because he was hurt. Dangerous Miller, I mean, they've got some special guys on that defense, and I think Jackson Brousseau is going to have some trouble throwing the ball, and the Wyoming linebackers are going to have to step up big against a guy like Jalen Dupree.
Yeah, good. They got some good running backs for CSU. That's kind of, to be honest, that's kind of it. You know, right now what it's looked like for CSU is their running back room's pretty good. Outside of that, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, tale of two teams, right? That's basically what we're seeing from Wyoming.
Yeah, sure.
you know, you've got that three-headed monster in the backfield, and they might struggle a little bit against a guy like Owen Long. I mean, I'm looking at these stats.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm talking about Braden Johnson right now. 42 tackles, that's pretty good. Then you look on the other side, Owen Long's got more than double that, 93.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid's a sophomore. He's a special player.
Yeah, he is. I think we're going to see some great linebacker play in this game for sure, if nothing else. You know, I asked you about the juice factor in this game. For Wyoming, this one might have a little bit more than years past because, you know, CSU's leaving the Mountain West. They're still going to, as we've talked about, they're still going to play each other. Still waiting on that 2027 year, I believe. But they're still going to play each other off and on. So that's staying intact. But is there kind of that, you know, that mindset with Wyoming, maybe the fans, where it's like, oh, they think they're better than us. Well, obviously, that's kind of always been a thing, but they really think they're better than us. They're leaving our conference to go join this allegedly new and improved Pac-12. I would say probably for Wyoming, this one means a little bit more than it has the last several years.
Oh, I'm sure they would love to be able to pull the line. Well, who beat you for the final time in the Mountain West? Mm-hmm. Like, who had the win that mattered the most? We do. You know, I think that adds some juice, and I think they would love to really basically put a nail on Colorado State's nail in the coffin in Colorado State's season. Yeah. CSU loses this game, you've got to run the table just to get a have any type of shot at a bowl game, at postseason play. I think Wyoming smells blood in the water right now, and that's not something that you want to have going into a sold-out War Memorial Stadium if you're CSU.
Yeah, 100%. This is a weird spot for CSU to be in. Of course, now Tyson Summers taking over as the interim coach. I just think sometimes football is like a soap opera, Ethan. It's crazy to me. Like, Jay Norvell, you know, pretty much kind of softly blasted Freddie Banks out of here, you know, putting him down. You know, the defense didn't put us in a good position. So he goes and hires Tyson Summers. I doubt he knew at the time when he made that phone call that Tyson Summers would ultimately be taking his job, at least for half of a season.
Yeah. No, I mean, and then, you know, on the flip side, we've got Jay Johnson being replaced by Wyoming legend. Right. It's college football can be very dramatic, and this could be a very dramatic football game.
I think so. I think it's, I mean, it always kind of lines up that way. Last year was kind of a weird game, too. I mean, it felt like CSU blew Wyoming out, but it was one of those where it was never out of control, but just Wyoming just couldn't, kind of like we're seeing this year, just couldn't get anything going offensively.
Yeah, I mean, there were, like 8 drops in that second half?
Yeah,
yeah. That was bad. that was bad. I think the wide receivers are a lot better this year. I'm sure that they're having nightmares of those drops from last year.
Oh, 100%.
I'm sure that they've been reminded many times this week. So I wouldn't expect that again.
Ethan, where are you on Caden Anderson at this point? Because we're getting to that, you know, again, I know we've said it and he said it, like, I've only started so many games. I've only played so many games. But when you kind of get to a point in the second season, well, not the full second season for him, but, you know, where you start to go, all right, when does it start to click for this guy? And when do we start to say, maybe it's not going to click for this guy?
Well, you've got to see the elimination of those young, stupid mistakes. That second that interception in the second half against Air Force. I mean, that's just a horrible throw. Off your back foot into double coverage. He just needs to learn to throw it away. I mean, we saw that 2 weeks before. He tries to force one on the sideline. Intercept it. Just throw it away. just throw the ball away. So until, like, he's really got to stop making those mistakes that show his youth and show that maybe he's not learning. I think that he's progressed and learned a little bit more in this offense, and I expect Coach Bonight to put him in a better position, like I said, with, you know, less substitutions. Get the guys that he trusts more in there, and maybe we see some progress.
Ethan, I always ask, you know, where's your mind going on this one? The Cowboys are now a 5.5-point favorite at home this weekend. How do you think this one's going down?
I mean, this is the hardest week to answer that question.
Yeah, it's hard for you to do this. It's a difficult spot for you always to be in, but this one especially.
What's going on with either of these football teams?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think I would lean towards Wyoming covering. There's just too much riding on this game, too much juice. I think, you know, as many bells and whistles as CSU has in terms of recruit and talent, I think Wyoming has shown that they're a better football team this year. Jay Sovell put out the public challenge. I mean, straight up, we need to score a touchdown a quarter. And that's a straight up public challenge to Javon Bonight. So I think the offense is going to produce. The defense, as it most often does, is going to produce. Wyoming should cover.
There you go, man. Ethan coming out, firing on that. I like it. Picks are on Friday, which is, Ethan, as you know, today. And I'll be making those later on. So I will be taking your thoughts into consideration, as always, my friend.
Oh, I really appreciate it. You know, I've had to adjust to actually making the picks.
I force people.
I do my own gambling on the side, but that's all personal. You know, this is for entertainment purposes only. Don't trust me with your money.
Don't be gambling on the NBA, Ethan. Stay away from that one for a while, okay? Let that cool off for a bit, okay?
I lost a lot of money last night, I'll tell you that much.
Well, they got to him. Somebody got to him.
I was thinking, like, you know, with all that happening, everybody's going to play their best because they don't want to get investigated. But I was wrong.
What did you go with? Did you go with the Nuggets?
Yeah, I mean, I was really close on hitting a parlay. Just the Nuggets lost, and Jokic didn't score 25.
They got to him.
No, that'd be the Serbian mob. That's a little scarier.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with that one, man.
The Italian mob, right?
Every time.
I'm not messing with that. Hey, take that off the record. I ain't saying nothing about
I'm tweeting that out, man. We'll keep you safe on that side, man. Anytime I see, like, Spencer Jones checking in for the Nuggets, though, I got to admit, my brain's going, why? Why is that guy getting 6 minutes? Ethan, appreciate you as always, my man. And looking forward. Hopefully, this is just a good football game.
Oh, that's all I want. I just want to get a football game, man.
That's all we want, man. All right.
All you can ask for. All right.
Great work from you, as always, man. Yep. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you next week, man.
Ethan Bird, KGWN-TV. He's got an interesting spot because he went to CSU, Brian, and now his career is covering the Wyoming Cowboys.
That's tough.
That's not just like CSU, and then you go to Boise State or something. He's got to do Wyoming Cowboys stuff all the time, and he's done a great job of walking that line. I think a lot of Cowboys fans were a bit leery of that, though, when he took that job.
Oh, I'm sure. That's like somebody from the other mafia family coming into yours. Sorry, bad analogy today. Sorry about that.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's going to keep happening. We talk about, I do my little player prop that I throw out, you know, who's going to go over, who's hammering the over, and I did Jamal Murray. I had that, nailed it, easy, got that done in three quarters. But as I was tweeting it out, I was kind of like, I feel icky about this for some reason. Yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah, I felt bad when I placed my parlay about how many times Carson Wentz would cry during the game.
That might be the best bet now.
It certainly
was. To do stuff
was.
Like that.
Yeah, that's it. But no, this whole thing definitely changes your look on things a little bit. But there is no denying this border war this weekend is going to be unusual.
Yeah. Well, and I think...
I mean, it's very unusual.
For Jay Sauvel, I know it's only his second season, but they won 3 games last year. They're at 3 games now, and the offense doesn't look much better than it did last season. They made the change at quarterback. They got all these weapons. We haven't seen John Michael Gillenborg hardly at all throughout the course of the season. He's had injuries too, but I was talking about him being a third round pick, and we just have not seen him on the field enough to make me feel very positive about that. So, and if Jay loses to an interim coach, then I don't know. I mean, I don't think that we're in the market for another midseason firing or anything like that, but If he loses to CSU and then they got San Diego State, who's looking like they're going to be a pretty good football team, then I think the pressure really ramps up on another Jay in this area.
That's really ironic.
Another Jay.
That it would be that way. But
well, Jay Johnson was the offensive coordinator, and he got demoted. So it's like a bad...
Bad time for Jays.
Bad time for Jays.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get into more. We got to talk about CSU on their side of things, too. Hey, we had Kevin Lytle in yesterday. And we did Rams Weekly. And he's been at practice all week, and he said Tyson Summers is coming in and changing everything. Like, it's the look of practice is different. So this isn't really just a soft takeover. I'll just kind of mind the boat for a while and see how it goes. He's coming in trying to put his flair on this thing instantly. And we'll
gun
see
for the job?
I guess. I think for him, I even asked Kevin, I said, let's just play the game. Let's say he wins out. You know, that would be beating Boise at Boise. That would be beating Wyoming. They got UNLV too. Kevin still said... the percentage chance is still very, very low.
Really?
Yeah. That they want to make some kind of a splash hire to get people excited, and I just don't think people are going to be excited about Tyson Summers, even if they do go on and win out.
I don't know where that splash is. that's going to be available. I don't know what would make a splash.
Yeah, I don't know what that looks like.
Because I thought they got it when they had Jay.
Yeah.
I really did. The excitement over that seemed to be absolutely right on.
Yeah, it was exciting. His staff was exciting. They were doing all these videos.
Doing all the right
promotions and Fort Air Raid. And we never saw any of that stuff. And I've talked about it a lot. I think what Jay Norvell did with his quarterback decision, now there's been a lot of other things, but the way he handled Clay Millen, and I know people get mad at me for this, because they're like, stop defending Clay, he wasn't that good. It's not necessarily about whether he was good or not, but you go all offseason after his freshman year, Clay's the guy, oh, he's a great relationship with this guy, oh, they're learning so much, and you give him a half and a play of the season. And then you pull him.
I still think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then you give BFN probably five games too many because you went out in public and said, guys are poaching this guy. He's so good. He's the $600,000 guy.
That was the worst statement ever.
That was a terrible move.
Yeah.
If BFN would have worked out, then it would have been a brilliant move, but the risk was not worth the reward.
I hope the kid works out wherever he ends up.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a lot of potential.
He did. He had a lot of potential, and I see where Jay was coming from with that. I just thought, man, you yanked Clay Millen out so quickly, and then not only did you stick with BFN, but you doubled down, and you talked about how great this guy is and how everybody's gunning for him and all this. Eastside Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line. If you guys want to shoot us a text, 888-530-0043. I can't get it to open up. I can just read the first line. Brian, I don't know if you can see it there, but it's mine is not opening up, unfortunately.
No, neither is mine.
Something is going on.
There's a circle of death going up above it, like it wants to go there.
It wants to do it, but it's not. So I'll just read what you got here for us, what we can actually see. Fellas, I'm curious. We've drafted two running backs early with Estime and Harvey. Both have basically underachieved, and that's all. There we go. Got it, Eastside Chris. Is this a drafting mistake or not using them correctly? By the way, Javonte is going to have a I'm still good game. Go Rams. I think they're not using them right. I just don't think we saw enough of Estime last year, and he was a fifth-round pick. But R.J. Harvey's a second-round pick, and we still don't know if that guy is any good.
Well, the whole thing going into this season was we're going to establish a running game. You know, we got this big line, and we really need a running game. It's the thing that's been missing, and I don't see that they've even gave effort to have that.
I don't know what's going on with the thought process there, and it's kind of like – okay, I know like last week he's on the kick return and he lets the ball roll out of bounds, or he should have let the ball roll out of bounds. Instead, he catches it and then he puts the Broncos in a bad field position. I get that kind of stuff is irritating to coaches, but he is a rookie. Wouldn't you like to know at the end of the season what you have in that guy? Because he was a really good college running back. He was one of those, there was a lot of good running backs coming into the draft this year, and he was one of those guys, and we have yet to know what he can really do. He's getting like four carries a game.
We right now are the exact opposite of the way we worked with Mike Shanahan, where you could have put any running back in the backfield and they got 1,000 yards.
Right.
It didn't matter who we brought in. The system was set up and that offensive line was going to get it done.
Yeah, but Sean Payton would rather throw screen passes, I guess.
I don't get that. But let's see what – again, we're 5-2.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens
top
with
of the
Dallas.
AFC West.
And we're complaining.
No thanks to the Vikings last night, Brian. I needed them. I needed the Vikings. They could have taken down the Chargers.
Why are we talking about
that? I'm sorry. I apologize, but I was watching and I'm like, oh yeah, before I could even sit down to start doing my stupid Triple H tweets and stuff, because that was my chosen wrestler that I was going to showcase, and I didn't even do it last night because it was out early.
The whole game changed immediately when the Vikings had a pick six that was called back.
Yes.
And this is 2 weeks in a row where something was so close and they overturned it.
Yeah.
And it's always been my thought, if it's so close, it's taking that long to look at, it is not conclusive.
Yeah. They got to him. They got to him, Brian. 12:27 the time. That's going to be the new thing.
The new thing,
not
they got
on
to
Friday.
Him.
It's just going to be they got to him. Anytime something I pick doesn't go right, it's going to be they got to him. 100%. 27 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We got the quarterback toilet bowl, Brian. I bet you're happy about that. That's coming up at 1:05.
I can hardly wait. I found the sound effects. So.
Apparently, I'm not winning the toilet bowl anymore. So I don't know. I've been struggling in every area now. So I got cocky 2 weeks ago, and I started, you know, putting down Tanner, putting down Dancing with Myself, and then the dude down the hall. And they just kind of looked at me like, dude, what are you doing? You're getting a little cocky. Since then, the picks have been rough. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on this Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse.
Want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
I mean, the text about the running backs was interesting, too, because now we're seeing a guy in Javonte Williams with the Cowboys that just seems like I thought he was done, that he was going to get on a team and just be like a third string guy.
Just kind of fade away.
Just fade away. And now with the Cowboys, he's resurrected his career. So that plus what we're seeing with the underusage of J.K. Dobbins and especially R.J. Harvey. And again, I'm not saying R.J. Harvey's good. I just don't know. Good. But that was the plan. You drafted him. Running back and tight end were the two key positions for this team. And I really love what we saw from Evan Engram in that fourth quarter.
Yes.
I mean, he can move.
Finally, yeah.
He might actually do the Joker position thing. He kind of looked like he could do that. But now you look at Javonte Williams, almost 600 yards rushing. And he's had six touchdowns. He's averaging like 85 yards a game. Where was that?
Well, did we give him a shot? I mean, how much did we try to utilize him when he was here? I mean, maybe we did, and I'm forgetting.
No, but I mean, you could look at last year, and on any given day, it was, oh, is it going to be Javonte Williams this week? Is it going to be Jaleel McLaughlin? Audric Estime didn't really get a lot of looks last season, but on any given Sunday, there was never really a full guy that was going to get the carries for this team, and that was also a problem, because I do think rhythm and momentum with running backs is important. And when you don't give them consistent carries throughout a game and they don't really know their position or they don't know what they're going to get as far as workload, that's a mental thing too.
Well, you know, a lot of the great, like I think of Adrian Peterson when he was with the Minnesota Vikings, where it was you just kept going to him.
Yeah.
You know, you waited to get into a rhythm. He might get stopped a couple of times, but he's going to break it and go when you consistently give it to him and he feels it. You see it with Derrick Henry. You know,
sure,
the more you give it to him, the better he gets. And, like, it's a mystery to me what Philadelphia is doing with Saquon Barkley, why they're not just handing the ball there. It's baffling to me, those who seem to have the personnel but aren't going that way.
Yeah. I mean, Williams at this point, last year he had 513 yards rushing.
Really?
On 139 carries. And, you know, you split that with Jaleel McLaughlin. You saw some from Audric Estime. Tyler Bidet didn't have a ton of carries last season, but he was another one of those guys. But Estime had 76 carries for 310 yards, and that was a guy they were flirting with. But he got benched at one point. He fumbled and then was a healthy scratch for their game against Buffalo. So I don't know. I mean, everyone says that, oh, Sean Payton's ego. He just wants to prove that Bo Nix is going to work out. And as much as you might want to argue against that, the proof is in the pudding every single week. That's what we're seeing is more often we're seeing Bo Nix. We're not seeing a lot of carries for J.K. Dobbins. We're not seeing very many carries at all for R.J. Harvey.
Well, when you just went through those numbers of attempts last year, you divide that by a 17-game season.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen the ball double digits in a game.
Yeah. I mean, Javonte has the same, like, he has 111 carries right now for almost 600 yards. That's the production he had last year for an entire season. So I'm not on the hot seat thing with Sean Payton, but at some point it's like you got to get out of your own way and figure out how to stick to a real game plan here, because whatever we're seeing is just not working. This is one of the most boring offenses in the NFL.
Well, if you can run the football and have the type of defense that we showed, except for, you know, three quarters in that New York game, you got something.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm going with this. Picks are on Friday, Brian.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. It is Friday, but later on the show, we'll do the picks. And I'm looking at, you know, the Wyoming CSU game. I think I have an idea where I'm going with that. CU and Utah, CU feels like they've been off for 8 weeks for some
reason. It really does, doesn't it?
I don't know why it does, but it just feels like their bye week has taken a little bit longer. Maybe because they got a win and it was kind of exciting, and that was the most excitement we've had around our college football scene here. And it just feels like forever since we've seen the Buffs back on the field.
No, it certainly does. But it'll be interesting to see how they come back in this one.
Yeah.
I know picks are later.
Picks are on Friday, yeah.
Yeah, they certainly are. But I think that spread is a little heavy.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, I will. I want your thoughts on these games, too, as we get the fellas in here, too. I'll ask them what they're thinking. As we just, the entire theme of this show, really, the only thing it's about is just for that one segment to make the picks. All Monday through Friday, it's all about gathering information to make the picks, which I did struggle mightily last week. I think the only one I got right was the UNC Bears to cover.
And which seems to be pick that every week.
Yeah, how are you feeling about this one with the Bears? They got UC Davis.
That is going to be an incredible test.
Huge.
But every time they've been tested, they've either passed or been right there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they beat the spread every single week.
I think you're 100% right.
So my mind is, until they don't, you go with them. And
yeah.
I just have such faith in Ed. And I might
too.
Be a little bit blinded because I think so much of him as a person, and I also think that way of him as a coach. And I'm so impressed with what they've done. He has completely flipped the attitude of that program.
Yeah, and I talked to him about this on Football 52, and it was kind of a negative. I said, Ed, the Bears have been so bad for so many years that we never even spent time picking apart a decision in a game. Because it never came down to a decision. It was just bad football. And I said, congratulations, Ed. We are now ridiculing your decisions on the whole show and on KFKA. But I do believe that's a compliment for where the Bears have been. Because it's
Absolutely.
Always just been, oh, the Bears lost again, 30-17, moving on. Now we're actually like, why didn't you run the ball on 4th-and-1? You know, we're giving them a hard time on that.
I think for the last several years, there has been complete apathy
yeah,
about the program, and it is really exciting to see that switch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So they've got, I think, UC Davis is 6th in the country, then Montana State is 5th, and then Northern Arizona is like 22nd. So the next three games.
Murderer's Row.
Murderer's Row. You find a way to win those games.
Oh.
I mean, now we're having a different conversation. We're having a Darren Dunn. Can you hang on to this guy? That's the conversation we're having in 3 weeks if they find a way. Even if they go 2-1, I think we're having that conversation.
And it's interesting because you wonder, would Ed's strategy, because the way he's had to coach and build this team, I'm sure he'd love the opportunity to do it with more money in a different situation, but what he's built this the only way you could do it here.
Yes, yes. You finally got a guy that really understood what it's going to take because you don't have the money. So you might as well get these homegrown Colorado guys, and I know not the entire team is Colorado,
right?
But get these guys that CSU's not talking to, that CU's not talking to, Wyoming's not talking to, and see if you can turn them into ball players. Like Carver Cheeks, nobody knew that guy's name.
Oh.
He's probably going to be on a different team next year.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. 40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick, Brian, and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Yeah, thanks for that text, Faith. Faith, thanks for the candy, by the way. She's got to be our
best
listener.
She's been a lifesaver. Yeah, she's fantastic.
I mean, we have some great Hall of Famers, but not many of them will bring candy to us. She won our Top Text Tuesday Diamond Valley Collectibles just top text, and she got a $20 gift certificate, so she came to pick that up, and she brought candy.
That was so sweet of her, because, yeah, I was starting to fade in here, and she brought me some Reese's bats, because she heard me say that Reese's peanut butter cups are like the crab leg of candy. Trying to unwrap that damn thing, you got to get it out of the package. Then you got to get it out of its little cup holder thing. And she was trying to teach me a technique in one motion to get the foil and the little cup thing off.
Then you and you mastered it now?
She gave me bats, which aren't wrapped. So that was pretty smart.
The, you know the things I have a problem with is the little suckers. My kid loves to go to stores and get suckers. And they wrap them so tight around the little stick.
Yes.
And then you got to, like, get them around. It's like undoing a wire, kind
of. It's horrible. Yeah. It's you've almost just got to slide it down the stick once you get the top part open.
It's a very, very tough situation.
Life is tough out there.
Life is tough. Faith says the UNC program really has turned around. Regardless what happens next, they definitely have changed the mindset of people. Yeah, I think people are talking about the Bears in a different way than we have in a very, very long time. And we'll see how long that goes, but... It's a team that won one game last year and zero games before that. They haven't won four games since 2016, so if they can do that against UC Davis, they've done something they haven't done in almost a decade.
It's just so cool, as we were talking before, just seeing the relevancy.
Yeah.
You know, that people aren't talking about it. And, you know, I went to a game earlier this year. I went to the opener, the Chatterton State one, and it was just cool to be there. It's the vibe that I used to get that I missed from back in the Division II days with Joe Glenn and, you know, the championship teams that he was building. It just has a similar vibe with what Ed is doing right now. And Ed has banged the drum so well on the community of representing the program.
Boy, wouldn't it be fun if we had, you know, UNC was rolling. You know, every year we're talking about playoffs. And CSU, every year we're talking about them winning their conference championship. It would just be awesome. But we just really haven't seen that. In this area, it's been pretty rough. 12:48 the time. We'll take a short break here. Coming up in the final hour of the show on this Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse, we've got the quarterback toilet bowl, and I am unfortunately no longer leading in that. We'll get into more CSU talk and where they go from here, what they're looking for their in their next head coach. So we have that coming up, and then more Broncos Cowboys. Where's my brain on this game coming up? And then, of course, the picks. The picks are on Friday.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. 12:48 the time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
All right, Brian, unfortunately, this has been fun, but the next hour, things get a little weird in here.
You know, I'm familiar with that. We do wine at 9.
Yeah, you'll fit right in.
I'm not afraid of that.
I have a script and what I'm going to talk about and everything, and then we bring Tanner in here and the dude down the hall in here, and then Dancing with Myself comes in here. And
none of that other stuff happens does it?
No, it really doesn't. Eastside Chris, rabbit hole question. Explain the toilet bowl rankings. Do you want to be first or last? Well, you want to be first at being last, basically. You want to pick the worst quarterback and be the best at picking the worst quarterback.
This is going to be my first QB toilet bowl.
I don't think any of us really understand. Mike knows the rules, but none of us do. So we just do it, and then we see what happens.
The whole group does not equal a sharp knife.
No. We're not the sharpest lettuce in the shed.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I like that.
I'm not you, okay? I can't do funny stuff on the fly all the time.
Apparently, I can't either.
I think you can.
I'm trying.
All right, we got toilet bowl coming up, and we'll see how this goes. But yes, basically, Eastside Chris, you want to be the best at being the worst, essentially. That's kind of how this thing goes. So coming up in that final hour, we'll get into Colorado State, too. The head coaching search is on. And from my understanding, they can interview now. Like in college, it's much different than the NFL. They can actually talk to these coordinators now.
Probably the ones that are on staff, really?
Yeah, coordinators, I believe. Head coaches, probably not. But they can begin the process. I don't think they're flying here or anything, but they can begin that process now. to see if there's any interest going forward. And is there interest? Is this an appealing job? We'll get to it coming up next. It's the whole show. It's Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.